Okay, we'll move into the action portion, or the actual meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. We have quite a few people who are signed up for citizen time. So what we're going to end up doing today is we're going to give everyone 2 minutes. I think we got about 20 or so people signed up. So everyone will have 2 minutes, and when I ask you to please summarize, obviously that means that the time is up. I have Brian Falls, Kelly Harris Braxton, David Birdwhistle, Keith Merlin to start. I'll just keep on adding people on.
Secretary Connaughton and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, thank you for the opportunity to speak this afternoon. My name is Brian Falls. I am the Government Affairs Manager for the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce. And on behalf of the Chamber and our 1,200 member businesses, I respectfully request the CTB formally accept and begin implementation of the recommendations in the North-South Corridor of Statewide Significance Master Plan Study. And I would especially urge the Board to focus on the most immediate need for improvement within this corridor, the Bi-County Parkway. The Bi-County Parkway is vitally needed to improve, provide safe, fast, interregional travel between commuters and commerce in Prince William and Eastern Loudoun, better balance the regional transportation network and support job creation and shorter commutes in these areas, divert growing volumes of interregional traffic away from neighborhood roads, preserving the quality of life of local communities, and provide improved access for travelers, businesses, and shippers to Dulles Airport and neighboring businesses from Prince William County and many parts of Virginia served by I-95, Route 29, I-66, and related corridors of statewide significance. Just to give you some of the numbers, according to the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, by 2040, Loudoun and Prince William counties, based on the county's own comprehensive plans, expect to be home to over 1.2 million people, up from about 766,000 today. And we expect to provide employment for 564,000 people, up from about 287,000 today. That represents a 97% increase. And within the master plan area, population is anticipated to grow about 54% to about 544,000 people, and jobs to about 240,000, which is a 111% increase. This projected growth will dramatically affect the north-south travel demand. Expanding capacity on the existing north-south connections is certainly necessary, but creating new north-south travel capacity is as important, if not more so. I will wrap up. Yes, sir. The Loudoun County Chamber fully understands that the corridor is a conceptual plan that may be subject to many revisions before the first shovel hits the dirt. Throughout that long process, we strongly support efforts to work with stakeholders to address questions of appropriate rights of way, preservation of cultural heritage, protection of private property rights, and environmental stewardship to ensure that everyone is a winner. But I cannot understate the importance of improving north-south connectivity if Loudoun County and the Commonwealth are to sustain their economic strength and quality of life. Thank you.
Kelly Harris Braxton, David Birdwhistle, Keith Merlin, and then Ken.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. I know I'm probably not the person you want to see right now, but I do want to respond to the presentation that you saw earlier. My comment is on behalf of Virginia First Cities Coalition, which represents Virginia's older core fiscally stressed cities. The condition and operation of core city streets is vitally important to the functioning of Virginia's transportation network and the regional and state mobility and commerce. As Virginia grows, cities will increasingly be the place where that growth will occur, so city transportation infrastructure will be increasingly important. Core city streets are complex, they're older, they're more expensive to maintain and operate than the average VDOT road. As was discussed earlier, there's age issues, complexity, etc. Core city streets routinely handle and integrate multiple modes, cars, trucks, transit, pedestrians, bicyclists. Additionally, these streets must accommodate multiple and older utilities that may require and do require more frequent pavement cuts and repairs. Federal law requires that any telecommunication provider, if they want to cut the streets, that they have to do that. There's nothing we can do to stop that. So that happens a lot. I work on 1,100 Main Street, and that street is cut up constantly. It is very expensive to maintain it, and I just want you to understand that. And what we'd like to do is have an opportunity to bring representatives to talk more, either with the local work group, with you, and then I would ask that maybe you could also talk with your cities that you do represent about this issue, because we spend a lot more than we're allocated, and we appreciate the allocation, but it does require quite a bit more to maintain our streets. And I think that there's more behind what, you know, the report and all that that needs to be understood.
Summarize?
Yes.
Summarize?
Yes, okay. I just ask that Virginia First Cities ask you to consider street maintenance needs and the plan for growth in these funds for street maintenance that will close the maintenance gap and reduce the needs for additional local funding. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. David Pertwood, Ms. Akita Merlin, and then Kenar Bell Ashen.
Good afternoon. I'm David Burtwistle with the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance. Public comment is an important element in the transportation planning process. From the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance's perspective, the ultimate question is not whether several dozen or 100 people register opinions for or against a given project. What matters are the overall needs and benefits to the population today and in the future for all those people who have not registered an opinion. The CTB's mission is to evaluate and provide for long-term transportation needs for all current and future needs. The Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance urges the Commonwealth Transportation Board to accept the Northern Virginia North-South Corridor Conceptual Transportation Study and all efforts to continue to move this corridor forward. The CTB's discussion of importance establishing corridors of statewide significance dates back nearly a decade to the Transaction 2025 and 2035 processes. With the passage of HB 2019 in 2009, the Virginia General Assembly directed and empowered the CTB to identify and establish COSSs. The vote was unanimous. Legislators that now oppose this particular corridor voted in favor of this concept. The legislation covered existing and new corridors. A special CTB COSS subcommittee endorsed using existing COSS criteria to identify emerging needs and designate new corridors. The Northern Virginia North-South Corridor was the subject of extensive CTB deliberation in 2009. After nearly 18 months of study, the CTB officially designated the new Northern Virginia North-South Corridor as a COSS. Part of the COSS process involves completion of conceptual corridor studies such as what is before you today. This study is a starting point, not a final product. Numerous other studies and analyses will be conducted in the years ahead, and it's important to move forward with such work.
Please summarize.
Yep. Starting with preliminary engineering and design of the Bi-County Parkway. Clearly, a number of issues remain to be addressed, and the Alliance applauds the Department on its decision to make the Bi-County Parkway limited access but not a toll road, and to keep Pageland Lane open for area residents. We encourage the Department to continue to work with local residents and others to mitigate as many outstanding issues and concerns as practical. At the same time, the need for the North-South Corridor has been well documented for decades.
Thank you.
Is it Keith Merlin? And then Ken Narr, Mel Hashem, Marion Gadman.
So, Mr. Secretary, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to address you today. I represent both the Washington Airport's task force as well as the Dulles Foreign Trade Zone in support of the CTB accepting the Northern Virginia North-South Corridor Master Plan Study. This study was initiated in 2009 by unanimous action of the General Assembly. We applaud the CTB for the prudent and thoughtful manner in which you have approached this issue. The CTB has looked at the needs of the region and the Commonwealth, has removed the politics from the issue, and has exercised its role as a strategic planner in transportation. North-South transportation improvements are desperately needed in this region and corridor to provide balance, mobility, and access for its residents and to ensure the future prosperity in Northern Virginia and the Commonwealth as a whole. This is a conceptual plan, a first step, and we wholeheartedly support the CTB accepting this plan as a starting point for further consideration, analysis, and public input. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ken Narr, Mel Hashem,
Marion Gadband and Bill Hefner.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I'd like to discourage you from passing the master plan. The first reason is growing confusion and mistrust. Accepting it only sources bad information. Accepting the not recommendations, but accepting the plan only is bad planning. What you've essentially said is it's a bad master plan, and you should send it back with refined guidance to come up with different alternatives. All the alternatives do not match the resolution which you're passing today. Question of legality on tolls, the transportation bill, and the constitutional amendment on property rights all cause caution on passing this master plan and the recommendation alternatives within. Underperforming public-private ventures in Seattle, 895 and 495 also cause caution for delay. Possible incurred state debt, which the Secretary mentioned just earlier this week, a 3.5, if in fact the state ruling, the court ruling is upheld. This would only incur additional costs that you've thrown down a pipe that could potentially be lost. Increasing federal, state, and local opposition, Senator Kane and Representatives Connolly and Moran have all proposed transit in this area. Loudoun County, Fairfax, Fauquier, and Prince William citizens are opposing. And the trend analysis of local citizens only matches dots from a day-to-day basis. I request you not pass the master plan.
Thank you, sir. We have Mel Hashem, Marion Gadband, Phil Hefner, and then Bob Cope.
My name is Mel Hashem, and I live on Sanders Lane, where the bike on the parkway is going to go through my house. I don't represent, but I'm speaking on behalf of all the people. There are like thousands of people, hundreds of homes, which will be destroyed. So we don't want this road to be built in Lower Crescent. So please, if you can, please reject it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Marion Gadband, Phil Hefner, Bob Cope, and Tom Thompson.
Thank you, Marion Gadband. I live in Prince William County, Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to enter into the record the petition of 1,548 petitions opposing North-South Corridor and closing of 234 in Prince William County. We request the CTB not approve the North-South Corridor study today and that you remove it from any further hearings. There are flaws in the study, there are flaws in the programmatic agreement, which is part of the study, and there are flaws in transparency and flaws in citizen involvement. Ladies and gentlemen, the actions taken by the Secretary of Transportation, the CTV, and VDOT have been appalling. There have been secret negotiations between the Secretary of Transportation and the National Park Service to give away property, private property rights, shut down a transportation network for commuters and Gainesville residents since 2010. Then, on February 20th, 2013, the CTB passes a resolution that totally undermines the terms and conditions under which 234 and 29 can be closed. These are underhanded methods and have tarnished the image and the effectiveness of the CTB, VDOT, and the McDonald administration. Last but not least, you have created a major campaign issue for the gubernatorial race of Virginia this year, particularly in Prince William County and Loudoun counties, two major swing vote counties. We're paying attention to these issues and we'll vote accordingly. I received a call today from Jay Swanson, the policy coordinator for the McAuliffe campaign. We had a great conversation. We have a meeting scheduled with him next week to discuss the road and how it was handled. Mr. Swanson told me a road of this magnitude would not occur under the McAuliffe administration. As you can see, because of the lack of disclosure regarding this road, whatever name you want to use, thousands of votes are up for grabs. Thank you.
Thank you, Scabby. Phil Hefner, Bob Cope, Tom Thompson, and Shannon Dunn.
My name is Philomena Hefter. I'm a Prince William County resident. In 1986, the Belisle's administration started looking at transportation initiatives, and that's the last time we had some transportation funds coming in. At that time, the development community talked about the Outer Beltway, and that was done in 1999 and 1998, and it did not move forward. It was the wrong road, the same narrow corridor as the North-South corridor. And and it was bad policy. It appears to be a predetermined outcome that you've done in this Carter Master Plan. And in addition, you have created a lack of transparency in all of your studies. Everything's segmented and nothing matches up and people are not told. In fact, the programmatic agreement for the Bi-County Parkway, which you're calling it now, has not been signed and is of a questionable status. Mary Ann spoke to that earlier. Our community found out about the North-South Carrier around the time we were working on the programmatic agreement, and actually after the December public hearings. Your advertisements are very poor, especially for this body. Your North-South Carter resolutions were never available like 7 days before, less than 7 days before your hearings. That's problematic. But your master plan in the you've published and put online your quarter master plan study, and section 5 has the recommendation alternative and quarter action plan. The resolution you described in May 15th was talking about innovative funding ideas and included an immediate action plan in today's resolution. And today it's totally different. I've taken out HOV and tolling, and my question to you, do you come back later like you did in February and modify the document and put in the things that you think are really necessary when it comes down the pike? Thank you. Please do not pass it.
Thank you, Stephanie. Bob Koch, Tom Thompson, Shannon Dunn, and then Stuart Schwartz.
Good afternoon. I'm Bob Cope. I'm a resident of Prince William County, and I'm here to urge you to correct this master plan before you consider it. Ask you to get fair input. You've heard complaints about fair input. Advertise the correct time and place when you get the have the meetings. You missed the June 3rd meeting, the information meeting, where nearly 800 residents were against the plan and against closing roads up in Prince William. Those petitions give you some indication of how people really feel about that. So that is not reflected in your master plan. Get the tolls out of there. You've got plenty of problems with that plan. Fix it. And put some ideas in there to correct the traffic problems. We hear about traffic problems in the future, but as a consultant, I commute east-west, and I commute north-south. East-west is murder. North-south is a piece of cake from Manassas. Rather than doing a resolution, I ask that you, as mentioned before, I ask that you fix the plan. The June 15th, 2006 resolution said no closing of roads until a battlefield bypass and other improvements were made. Then your February 20th, 2013 said close 234, COM 29 before the battlefield bypass is completed. So resolutions don't seem to mean a lot. So it also goes against Congressman Wolf's legislation, as he pointed out in his letter to this group.
You just summarize, sir.
And thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Tom Thompson, Shannon Dunn, Stuart Schwartz, Barry Klein.
Good afternoon, members of the board, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'm Tom Thompson, resident of Gainesville, Virginia, for 29 years. I'm here today to hereby request that the CTB to defer action today on your north-south corridor master plan until further public hearings are held. This corridor impacts tens of thousands who are totally unaware of this proposed corridor designation and its potential impact to them. I, for example, who will be directly affected, only became aware recently of this proposal. While there were two public meetings held in December of 2012 and one in January of this year, I and other residents who will be directly impacted had no knowledge of these meetings. In fact, the master plan reports only 200 plus people out of tens of thousands were in attendance at these three meetings. In addition, information within the 173 pages of this plan are flawed, have changes, and should be updated after further public input has been obtained. I refer to Congressman Wolf's letter dated May 14th to Governor McDonnell, in which he stated several concerns. One was a lack of transparency. While I realize the North-South Corridor project, sometimes also referred to as the Tri-County Parkway, has been discussed on and off for a number of years, thousands of people have moved to Prince William and Loudoun counties since the project's master plan was approved in 2005. More public hearings must be held, and more citizen input must be received before any final decision is made about the North-South Corridor.
Can you just summarize, sir?
I have seen the reaction of Prince William residents. What will Loudoun residents say as they learn of these plans? Thank you.
Thanks. Shannon Don, Stuart Schwartz, Barry Klein, and Tim Hugo.
Hi, my name is Shannon Gunn, and I live in Manassas. I don't have any land being affected by this, but I'm very passionate that you guys understand that we would really like for you to delay any vote on the quartermaster plan, and here's why. There's a lot of discrepancies in it. For instance, it doesn't have anything about the new costs associated with changing the plan to not have HOV and HOT lanes. So there's all of that data is totally off in that plan. In addition to that, the evidence for freight is really... There's no evidence. There's little, very little. There's one graph, and it's a picture of growth. And the statistics are provided by Boeing, who has a vested interest in this road being built. Additionally, there's just a reference to a little short Washington Business Journal article. And the same reporter, he said back in 2012 that there was going to be a lot of growth at Dulles. And now in 2013, the same reporter wrote an article stating that there was an 11% decrease in growth in Dulles freight last year. I want you to know that we are really upset that you guys didn't say anything about closing 234 at the December meetings, and then we found out about it, and then you had another meeting in January, and you had 700 people there, and none of those comments are part of this plan. Those comments need to be systemized and categorized, and then they need to go into the plan. If you look at the plan, there's 339 comments from pre-printed postcards saying that this is something that we should do. Well, those pre-printed postcards, I first thought that that was just somebody, at VDOT made a postcard up so we could put our comments on it and then send it in. But what I realized is that since 339 comments were exactly for the plan, those were printed up by companies and then just given to their people that work there, and they had to put their name and their address on there. So I really think your comment system has to be kind of overhauled as well. I would like for you to also consider the fact that Mr. Kilpatrick said at the June 3rd meeting that he was going to reroute 234. Well, what is that about? Is that just the Bi-County Parkway? Are you going to go up Pageland now with it? I mean, there's nothing about that in the quartermaster plan either. I'll wrap it up. I don't think that there's reliable sources for the congestion. Gum Spring Road, just really quickly, I noticed that basically this is going to help Gum Spring Road, which has 16 times less the amount of traffic of 66, a difference of 750,000 cars. So you're going to spend $1 billion to help Gum Spring Road. I don't think that's right. So I just want to say, please delay and get your plan updated. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Stuart Schwartz, Barry Klein, Tim Hugo, Rob Lohr.
Secretary Kamon and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, I'm Stuart Schwartz, Executive Director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth. At the outset, I'd recommend that you give a longer comment period, particularly for local citizens who've come down from Prince William County and been here since 10 in the morning. I also don't know if you were provided the public comments on the six-year plan update. I didn't see them in the sample book over here. Hopefully you were. I don't know how you absorbed all of that information on $15-plus billion in the VDOT program and $33 billion total for the entire program over the next 6 years. I'm also very concerned that we're not looking under the hood on this program. You've got some great briefings on the top line numbers, but we have repeatedly come before you as of others, questioning investments in Route 460, Coalfield Expressway, Charlottesville Bypass, which is falling apart in terms of design and justification, and also the North-South Corridor. On structurally deficient bridges, you started talking about that today. That's terrific, but I never got a comparison to the money you're spending and the need. You didn't have that before you. I don't know how you decide a six-year plan without having that comparison, and I don't know if $2 billion out of a $33 billion program is enough. I don't suspect it is. On the local road stuff you just talked about, I wish the localities had been invited here to speak to you as well, because that discussion would have been much better informed had they been here. I generally agree with what the First Cities Coalition representative said. Turning finally to the North-South Corridor, I think it mirrors the problems with many VDOT studies, as I've talked about before. It started with the conclusion and worked backwards. You didn't follow your own procedures in designating a corridor of statewide significance. It uses growth projections that are provided largely by the counties and cargo projections provided by the industry or the airport or an advocacy group, the Washington Airports Task Force. Hardly the sort of thing you should use to judge a $1 billion project. It is really a question of priorities, both the Bi-County and the North-South Corridor. We have much more important priorities in Northern Virginia. It's also, finally, a question of the future that we have for Virginia. I don't know what's going to happen in 20 years or 40 years under this current pattern. All you seem to do is widen for capacity, spread our state out, and make us less efficient in terms of infrastructure, yet not support the cities, the transit, the local road investments for those cities and older communities that we need for more efficient development in the Commonwealth. We will look back on this in a decade or two decades and realize that we gained no ground and that we squandered billions. Thank you.
Barry Klein, Tim Hugo, Rob Bloor, and then Nancy Hudson.
Secretary Connaughton and members of the CTB, thank you for letting me appear today. My name is Barry Klein, and I am here as the president of the General Trimble's Community Association. Our organization represents citizens who live, work, or travel through the arterial roads within the Manassas National Battlefield Park and Historic District. GTCA is opposed to the CTB approval of the North-South Corridor Master Plan and requests you defer any action on this matter until the programmatic agreement currently being negotiated has been finalized and approved by signatories and consulting parties as required by law. We believe that the February 20, 2013 resolution effectively repealing commitments made in 2005 by local governments and the CTB in 2006 cannot withstand the challenge of a common sense analysis, let alone a legal challenge. As Frank Wolf made clear, it attempts to negate the 1988 legislation, guaranteeing that 29 and 234 cannot be closed until both the Bi-County Parkway and the Manassas Battlefield Bypass are completed. To attempt to declare co-location of a small segment of the Bi-County Parkway as equivalent to the full Manassas Bypass so as to repeal previous commitments on road closures demonstrates that CTB resolutions lack permanency or true substance. When matters of this importance and public promise can be overridden at any time with limited notice or no notice, and taxpayers cannot rely on CTB decisions to be fair or consistent or in the best interest of the public. This is the lack of transparency cited by Congressman Wolf and other locally elected officials who oppose this project. The expense of the BCP, I'll let others speak to that, $1 billion road is just beyond conception here. The CTB must be aware that the proposed programmatic agreement is not complete. There is real doubt that the NPS requirement for PWC board approval of road closures will be achieved. Without the programmatic agreement, this project cannot go forward. You all know that. There are many details in that programmatic agreement that are contentious and are at odds with the corridor master plan content. And you also know that.
Please, sir.
Objections, I'm going to finish in a very short time. The consulting parties must be resolved first so that the master plan can continue.
Your time is up. You've already got more time than anyone else. It's up. Thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Tim Hugo, Rob Bloor, Nancy Heitzu.
Mr. Chairman, it's good to see all my friends here again. I appreciate y'all taking the time. I'm Delegate Tim Hugo, Chairman of the Republican Caucus in the House, second in the House Transportation. Look forward to working with you next year on your agenda. I heard you talking about it earlier. You know, when I spoke to you earlier, I mentioned the concerns about this Bi-County Parkway. And since then, I hope you've heard what's happened. Recently, Ed Clark, head of the Park Service, came out and said, if you don't agree, if the counties don't agree to definitely close 234, then he won't sign the programmatic agreement. Now, last night, Prince William County reluctantly reaffirmed their decisions on this. But what they also said, when you read the document, it says that you have to build the battlefield bypass. Now, that's a direct conflict to what y'all passed in February. Direct conflict to what y'all passed in February. You said you could build it just with the opening of the Bi-County Parkway. Also, since we last came, and I hope you know, in the 10 years, I've only testified twice in front of CTB, and both within the last month. Chuck Colgan came out and said, Senate Finance, Prince William County, said he has concerns about this parkway. He is opposed to the closure of 29 and 234. Fauquier County's weighed in. Leesburg is going to vote next week on it. This is a firestorm, and y'all are my friends, but I think your votes have created a firestorm. Now, the gentleman there talked about a few votes, a few people showing up. Almost 700 people showed up 2 weeks ago. Congresswoman Drake knows you can't get 700 people to show up if you pay them. That is a fact. They showed up and they were mad. I ask you to look at this on this. A couple things I want you to think about. And this is why they're upset. If you were just building the road, it would be one thing. The rationale that's provided by VDOT changes every time you hear somebody. David Tyree showed up at the first meeting March 4th. We had about 400 people. It was a cargo road. Next time, it's because we've got growth in the area. Now the latest is, you know what? We're not really closing 29 and 234. We're just relocating it. Well, the fact of the matter is a relocation goes like this. Sean, you can give me a minute. I appreciate it. Relocation goes like this. Fact of the matter is, they're not going to be an exit off the Bi-County Parkway to 29. It's missing. And you came into a church and fed them this. It was a Methodist church. If it's Catholic, I told them to go to confession. I told VDOT to go to confession. My friends, some people say the explanation is disingenuous. Some say it's a lie. It's not fair. Tell them you want to build the road. Tell them that's it. That's fine. We're building the road. But don't tell them you're relocating the road. And don't change the rationale each time. These people deserve a straight answer. And Sean, they deserve it from you. They deserve a straight answer, and you've got to give it to them. And I appreciate y'all's time. And I know, Sean, thank you for the courteousness. You once again, as I say to the governor, you continue to live up my expectations on courteousness. So thank y'all very much. You're all my friends, and I look forward to working with you. But I do tell you, this is a firestorm we've created. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob, you know what? Nancy Heitzu.
Dear Secretary Connaughton and the Commonwealth Transportation Board, I put my name on the list as a placeholder. I'm Rob Lohr with the town of Percival. I'm the town manager. I know there have been some questions, concerns. Normally you don't have people come before you to talk about transportation enhancement projects. The town of Percival is currently in the 22nd year of our program. We've been fortunate to have $2.3 million given to us. We've matched almost $800,000, and we've had $7.2 million of private investment that occurred in our downtown as a result. In respect of your busy agenda, I was here only to answer any questions or issues, so I'll defer any other presentation until a later point if you have any questions. So, thank you.
Ms. Heitzu?
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary, board members. For the record, my name is Nancy Heitzu. I'm Vice President of Government Relations for the Prince William Chamber of Commerce. And I'm here today on behalf of the Chamber and our over 2,000 member businesses asking you to move forward and formally accept the master plan study for the North-South Corridor. Improving the connectivity in this North-South region has long been a priority of the Prince William Chamber for several decades, in fact, for the larger business community in Prince William. Certainly, we represent many businesses and many employers in the region and their employees. We hope that you will move forward today and accept this early phase of this project. As you all well know, the master plan study is just a long-term visioning for this corridor that you established several years ago. You've been studying this corridor for many years, and we hope that you now feel it's time to move forward so you begin the next phase of this road project where you can actually put some real plans and design work together and perhaps solve some of the and resolve some of the issues that some of the citizens have raised concern over in the appropriate study phase. Again, your own studies have shown that the growth in our region is coming, and in fact, we locally feel it already every day on roads that were not built to handle the amount of traffic that we see heading into Loudoun County or up to Dulles Airport on a daily basis. We feel that now is our opportunity as a Commonwealth to invest in our future as we plan and build for our future. History has shown that whether or not we invest in our future and plan for the growth, it's going to come. So now is our time to get it right and to move forward on a vital project, not only vital to move our citizens and our goods throughout the Commonwealth, but locally for our economic prosperity in Prince William and Loudoun counties. We feel this road is vital to connecting our core employment centers in Prince William and growing employment centers in Prince William with some of the largest employment centers in the Commonwealth near Dulles and Tyson's Corner. So thank you very much, and I hope you will move forward today.
Okay, that's everyone who signed up. To finish the citizens' time. We'll go to the first item, and that's the approval of the minutes of May 15th, 2013.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Well, those couple voted for it. It passed. Financial planning. Coal facilities revolving account. Mr. Lawson. Do you have any questions, Mr. Lawson?
I move for approval of the transfer of the facilities for the Auburn Fund.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Yeah, Mr. Lauderback?
Quick question. I believe I understood this correctly. Is it borrowing from the fund that's going to be repaid back?
That is correct. Yeah, the use of funds are in advance that will be repaid.
Do I have a conflict that I am chairman of the fund, 460 funding?
No, this isn't your client.
I didn't think so.
This is state. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Item number two, we have the 2014 annual budgets. Do we have any questions for either VDOT or DRPT? Have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? 6-year program. We just approved that as well? Oh, I'm sorry. I see no one. Any questions for VDOT or DRPT?
We have approval of the 6-year programs.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. We have programming. We have the last year's 6-year improvement program transfers. Anything in there anyone would like to ask Ms. Mitchell? Do you have a motion?
So moved.
You have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. We have Local Assistance Division. Mr. Brule, Revenue Sharing 2014. Do you have any comments, questions? Do you have a motion on item number 5?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We have the Transportation Alternatives Program.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Payments to cities and towns. Any questions? Motion.
So moved.
We have a motion?
No change, right?
All the, we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Action on the Arlington and Henrico counties maintenance payments. Do you have any questions?
No.
Have a motion.
Move approval.
A second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Excellent.
Thank you.
All right, maintenance division. Ms. Petzl. Main bridge on Route 5.
I have two items, Mr. Chairman. One, a commemorative naming on a bridge on Route 5. The other is a discontinuance of two small segments, secondary and Fredericksburg District near the Stafford High School. Both of these have followed our processes, and we have resolutions from the localities in support of them. I recommend your approval.
Order number 9, Mr. Cole.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second?
Yeah. Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Mr. Sterling is not here. Who would like to take it?
I'll move.
Yeah. So a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Number 11, North South Corridor Master Plan Study. Are there any comments, questions?
Yes, Mr. Secretary. As regard to the resolution that we are going to put before the board today, not going over all the whereases, but I want to make sure that the people who took the time to come here and sit and listen and testify understand what we're doing today. By reading into the record the last, the two there, now therefores, be it resolved that the board concurs with the executive committees, our executive steering committees and the Office of Intermodal Planning and Investments, the recognition of completion of the Northern Virginia North-South Corridor Master Plan Study. And be it further resolved that the acceptance of the Corridor Master Plan Study and its recommendations do not signify the CTB's endorsement of the recommended and or identified projects. Any transportation improvements in the corridor will be pursued in close consultation and coordination with the affected local jurisdictions. And the board intends that no such improvements shall include the tolling of 234 or the installation of HOV lanes on 234 Dumfries Road to the Prince William Parkway from I-95 to I-66, and the proposed 234 extension of the Bi-County Parkway from I-66 to 50. This is a step in the process. There is a long way to go, as it was read into the testimony, of what still has to be done, what studies are still ongoing, and I think it's incumbent that with the consultants having put in the time and the Commonwealth has paid for this study, that we accept the study, and that's all that we're doing today. And I move the resolution.
You have a second?
I'll second.
Yes, Mr. Chief.
How long has this process been going on, this study?
Since the board initiated the study in October of 2011.
These public hearings, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, they didn't have notice or it wasn't documentary.
The very first steps that we took in this process were, and you can check the video records of this, is where I made public comment to both the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors and the Prince William County Supervisors. Those were the first two stops I made, in addition to meeting with the individual supervisors who were impacted along the corridor. Subsequent to that, you can see from the Loudoun County online website my testimonies before the Transportation and Land Use Committee, and you can see from the Prince William County website updates on a regular basis by VDAT staff, primarily Maria Center, updating the board there in the community.
I can tell you, I guess, we've heard people state the last two meetings that a number of people state almost implying that VDOT has some kind of underhanded or devious reason for picking this route. I mean, is there anything that VDOT has in this other than trying to help traffic in
a congested
area?
I can't speak to the implications, but I can speak to the corridor master plan, which takes four roads, Belmont Ridge Road and North Star Boulevard in Loudoun County, that are on the countywide transportation plan, and the existing 234 bypass and the 234 bypass that are on the existing countywide transportation plan in Prince William County, and it links those four roads, and as a result of this resolution leaves them as they are in the comprehensive plan. So it's a linking of four existing facilities that are on countywide transportation plans in Northern Virginia.
I want to air this out. Mr. Rosen, I'd like to ask you, this is your district.
Mm-hmm.
You've been dealing with this for a long time, so we obviously don't have as much knowledge as you do on this issue. We first with the chamber and the Board of Attended Transportation Alliance. All the business folks are in favor of this. I assume they think it'll help traffic, make it easier to get to and from places. What we hear from a number of citizens that are fairly against it, what is the problem here? Why, aside from the fact that it's just a study, it's not authorizing any money, it's not authorizing...
Yeah, Mr. Peek, in answer to your question, and this is just one CTB member's opinion, I do believe that the process is very step-by-step and is slow. I mean, you know how many years we've been putting in on this. I think because of that, there was a presumption when some of these things were presented in the public presentations, which is what those meetings were, the first two. They're not really hearings. They're presentations. And then Charlie Fitzpatrick Kirkpatrick took a long time just on June 3rd with the 800 people there to explain it further where we were. The plan evolves, and which is still being worked on, but I think people jump to conclusions that automatically, you know, I saw a road, Pageland Road, this road is going to be closed. We never reached that conclusion. We're still working to this day on trying to keep that open. You have the battlefield, in one sense, saying we think it's an enhancement of the battlefield to close two particular crossroads. Other people think not. This is an ongoing dialogue, and there's been opposition to transportation improvements in and near the battlefield for a long time. We went through the development of the battlefield, which led to the Wolf legislation. We went through the Walt Disney Company wanting to build on the fringe, right, which is today Dominion Valley on Route 15. I just think there's a perception that the conclusion is already there. And in my perspective is that's just not true. We have a long way to go. There is the programmatic agreement. We're still working on access to Dulles with an ongoing study there. Still talking to landowners in Loudoun County about the route. Still talking to local officials about I-95, 266. There's nothing written in stone right now, and that's, I think, part of the problem.
Is this a first step in the process?
To me, it's an ongoing process, and this is one of the steps. It's not the first step. First step was taken long ago. But it's not a foregone conclusion, and I regret to say I think a lot of people think it is.
Nicolay?
Just kind of, tolls are sensitive, obviously, in Hampton Roads. Was it ever contemplated, Mr. Kaczynski, that 234 was going to be tolled?
In the study, it mentions that as one of the vehicles to revenue enhance the project.
And why are we precluding it now? Didn't your resolution say we're precluding tolls?
We are precluding tolls.
And why would we want to do that?
Well, I think it's because, Charlie, chime in here, because you made that statement, but I'm not just throwing the ball to you, but people right now, there's an adversity to tolls, and we wanted to see if there's a possibility that the tolls might be added in other parts of the road or some kind of revenue enhancement, but 234, limited access, we could pull it off with new funding not necessarily tied to tolls.
I think it relies more to
Mr. Kilpatrick.
When you look at the type of road,
Regarding the discussion about tolling, essentially it was it's largely a discussion revolving around HOT, HOV lanes, a managed lane concept similar to I-95 and the 495 Express projects. So that's really what it talks about largely in the corridor study. Part of the segment between 66 and Route 50, which is the Bi-County Parkway, through that area, we have some significant limitations in terms of agreements that we're continuing to work on with the National Park Service and reducing the impact and the footprint of the facility. So what it does largely, it creates a fairly compact facility that we can build through there. And technically, it makes it difficult. It will be limited to four lanes divided and not more. In addition, once you get into Loudoun County, you're going through You're in the vicinity of several existing neighborhoods. From a practical perspective, there's not a practical way to create an HOT facility on this four-lane roadway through there. So while it's a means of funding a project, there wasn't a practical way to construct it in terms of this facility, and I think it was appropriate to say that to take that off the table.
Okay, so it was excluded because it just didn't make practical sense, because we're going to toll across the state. I think we need to look at everything, but I understand your explanation for that reason, so thank you.
Yes, Ms. Woodward.
Just so I understand, the act of accepting the plan implies that the planning process is over for this particular master plan, is that correct?
No, it implies that it's just beginning. The master plan is only a visioning document.
So there are many. So what are we accepting?
You are accepting you're acknowledging that the work is complete, as Mr. Garzinski said, and you're accepting, but you're not committing to, you're accepting the work of the steering committee and the consultant saying the work is complete, but you're not endorsing any of the recommendations that are made in the report.
The plan is complete.
Yes.
And has there been historically an instance where action subsequent to a plan has been different from what the plan was accepted on some other part?
I'll speak to some of the folks that have been around longer, ask maybe the commissioner, but this is only the second one since we've been in office that we've actually accepted. The first one was Route 29. I can't speak to any prior to that.
I can speak to the tunnels, and they've been on the book for 20 years in Hampton Roads, and I would say what happened at some of those tunnels were different than what was officially planned 20 years ago. So I would think I think we'll make the best decision on the facts given at the time when those are available. This is, as my understanding, a visioning plan, a project, an intermodal corridor that is going to accept a lot of goods, movement of goods and services and people over the years. All we're looking at is what is the most efficient way to do that. No particular roads being contemplated, and I think that is the core position of this board, is that type of vision.
Well, my question really stems to the action that we're taking today and why that is so controversial. If there is indeed more decisions to be made and more planning to be done and more dialogue to be had, are we just accepting the finite end of a group of work?
That's the way the process works.
Can you add to the negative?
Mr. Clark,
what happens if we don't do a second?
It doesn't cease to exist. It is a public document, and the work of the committee is still the work of the committee, and the work of the consultant is still the work of the consultant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're considering our concurrence with the fact that the Executive Steering Committee and the Office of Intermodal Planning and Investment we're concurring with their recognition of completion. Are there specific R's that they must go over to arrive at their own recognition of completion? Because we're merely concurring with your action, or not concurring with it.
Well, the process is, based on the data that is out there and that we've collected, we've run the process to a point. And I've made the presentation 2 months ago, and then there's been some conversations here in this room since then. You will take an action today, and then we will go back and make sure that the document reflects the actions that you take. So if you take action related to HOT and HOV, then we will amend or annotate, I should say, Chapter 5, where the recommendation is to include the actions of this board.
But I think remember, at the end of the day, they took the underlying comprehensive plans and trying to match them up, because the issue here and why we even went down this path is that we have at least, what, 4 or 5 different projects and you know, studies going on plus underlying projects that are occurring, and wanted to make sure that they were coordinating with each other. Because each one has their own separate issues, which was referred to before, that, well, every meeting you hear something different because every one of the meetings are about a different segment. And all this was attempting to do was to make sure that we have one vision for everything going on, essentially north-south between 95 and essentially Route 7. And it's good planning because we had a bunch of separate studies and separate projects that may not fit together. So the fact that we finished this study means that we've essentially kind of finished the study, and now going to, you know, the projects underneath them are still going to continue moving forward. Ms. Lauterbach.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I guess for clarification point too, we are, by voting today, accepting the recognition of the study being complete. But this does not preclude, unless I'm mistaken, the local boards of Prince William and Loudoun decided in the future they wanted it in a different location, or they do not agree with it anymore, or whatever. I mean, there's still the input from the local governments. It's going to be the driving force, although not this goes forward as planned.
That's correct. And then, I mean, the challenge we've had always with this corridor of statewide significance is, and the 29 is a good example. I mean, we came up with a plan, and, you know, the local communities may or may not follow it. I mean, and just as important, we may or may not fund these projects that are being studied right now. I mean, every one of these projects have been going on for some time, and most of them have not had money put against them, except to spend millions of dollars on studies. Mr. Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to ask the question again, Dr. Cooper. It's a fact the study's been done.
Correct.
It's a fact that the bill's been paid up to date. It's a fact that we have it in some sort of printed form. And here it is on the table. Those are all facts. If we accept it, what does that really mean? And if we don't accept it, what does that really mean? It doesn't change the underlying facts. The study's been completed. The people who were in charge of the study said it's done. The office in charge of the study said it's done. The study's lying on the table. It's paid for. So what does the actual act that we're doing today, or that we're being asked to do today, to accept it, what does that mean? What does that mean regulatorily? What does it mean in terms of location? What does it mean?
It means that this document is laid on the table now and it's public, in its last public form, because it took 3 public forms in December and January as the process unfolded through 2 alternatives that we looked at and the one we finally recommended. And then by the fact that it's been in public domain for the last 60 days, the board in its last resolution, the last resolve that Mr. Gorzynski just read, takes that Chapter 5 where we make our recommendation and tweaks it. So that's the point. So Chapter 5 is where we make a recommendation in the document. That's our vision chapter in the document. And what you're doing today with the HOT and the HOV will cause us to go back and annotate or amend that chapter to make it consistent with the board's actions.
Forget that piece for a minute, because I've got another question about that piece. If we took no action whatsoever, ever, what would that mean? If we never even voted on it, we even talked about it. What would happen?
Nothing.
Thank you, sir, if I may respond to that.
You answered the question.
Nothing.
The answer to the question is that the corridor master planning process has 5 directives directed by you to follow. And in that process, we say that we will vision, use public input plans, and other ways to establish what it is that the localities, the region, and the state needs in order to efficiently move goods and people. And so with accepting the completion of the plan, it says that the office has followed 5 steps to readily be able to put
regional and local plans together in order to provide you with information or vision that looks at what you may be concerned with the state may be concerned with, and what the regional and the locals may be concerned with. So again, accepting it says that the larger vision for the movement and goods of people efficiently across the state is the purpose of the corridors of statewide significance being designated. And therefore then that the corridor master plan process that is being done on those corridors of statewide significance does look at and include the public to compile this information so that you can have information when other project decisions may come about.
No, I'm saying nothing. I mean, it doesn't mean you automatically put money against the projects.
I mean, I hear what you said, but that doesn't mean a lot to me. I mean, for example, if we didn't vote on this today, would that change it from anything we could do next week, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now?
Mr. Lane? Go ahead. I was going to make a comment as to how this came about and why I think it does.
I wouldn't put a staff to answer the question. I just want to understand. If this never came to a vote in this body, what would it preclude us or what would it make us do? Anything?
No, it wouldn't.
Would it preclude us from doing anything or would it make us do anything?
No, the resolution The resolution has a life of the resolution until another resolution comes along and undoes this resolution.
The word acceptance is the question that Mr. Whitworth was trying to get at and that I'm trying to get at. What does it mean to accept? Does it mean something beyond, they hand me a document, I said I received it. Does it have any implication beyond that? And I might suggest that sure it should not, you don't know.
In this particular case, not really, because in the next resolve after your acceptance, you take the work that the committee and the consultant does and said, this piece needs to be changed.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Miller, with your permission, would not accepting, would rejecting the resolution in any way inhibit any of the items in the resolution or master plan from coming to be in the future?
No.
Okay, thank you.
If it doesn't make us do anything and it doesn't prevent us from doing anything, then it's a null set.
Except for trying to get an overall plan.
Well, I understand. The document exists. It's a fact.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, we have an office in environmental planning that purpose is to look at some of these broader statewide issues and come up with plans.
Let me ask the second question. Most of you who come here regularly have heard my speech about tolls. And I'm not a fan of tolls. I only want to accept them when there's no alternative in terms of funding something and the project is sort of a nice to have versus a requirement. Because I think they're inefficient and they're inequitable. I don't like them. Having said that, it bothers me that we have a resolution that says we accept the plan. We don't endorse anything in it, except for one thing that we're not going to endorse. And it doesn't say we're not endorsing it. It says we intend. And I don't really know what that means. But my intentions, going to a previous speaker's point, my intentions do change. They ought to be able to change. Anybody suggest that my intentions today should be my same intentions 20 years from now, it's not on the same page at all. So I'm uncomfortable with, even though I would say I don't like goals anywhere, I'm uncomfortable pulling one thing out of the things we should consider and sort of doing that as a measure of appeasement, which is what I see it as opposed to just saying, we do a study. There it is. They told us we'll decide what our next step is and what we endorse, what we want to follow, where we go to next. So I don't like that. And I don't like it that it says intense. I don't know what that means 5 years from now. Somebody's going to come back and if we decide to call it, they're going to say, well, you said you're working on it. I'm going to say, no, we said we intend not to tell it, but we can change all that. And that's all gobbledygook for me. I don't like that. I just like, if the plan is, if we can accept the plan, without accepting the recommendations, without making any next steps be required or not required. That's a totally null action. It doesn't say I agree with it, it doesn't say I disagree with it, but now you've inserted one thing that I'm not going to intend to do. And I like that. That's not where we were last month. This is moved. And I presume it's a matter of appeasement.
I would say that it's not a matter of appeasement. I would say that when we embarked on these public hearings and these public discourse in December and January, there was no transportation funding plan. And even though the Washington Post says that I set up through March 20th that we could potentially use hot lanes on this, after the transportation plan, the transportation bill HB was signed into, I have not spoke the word hot lanes or HOV lanes since. So the dynamics have changed.
The problem is, I mean, we're in this catch-22. So we have people show up and complain and say, we don't like this. So we say, okay, we're not going to accept it. Now we're being hit. You're saying that now we shouldn't listen to the citizens?
Well, no, what I'm saying is you can't listen to one little bit and not listen to all of them. I'm null set. I'm good with that.
See,
I start taking it apart, say, I can't do this, or I can't do that, now I'm into the meat of it. Now you're taking me to the meat of the recommendations or the vision. Now I got to say, okay, well, I agree with all the rest of them. That's what you're dragging me into.
I don't think we are null set. We have a planning department. I understand. I didn't say I agree with it. I said I don't agree with it. I don't think we are an all set. That means we shouldn't plan anything. Go out and do your plans. We don't have to ever accept them or anything. That's not right. We had a plan like we did everything else. We went out. I don't think it's an all set because they went through it some more and they got some more guidance. They said, here's what we're comfortable recommending. That's why I asked the question about toll. So I don't think our matter is null set. Either we should reject the plan or accept the plan. That's the decision.
Well, that's not been the chairman's nor Mr. Garcetti's.
I think that's exactly the
point. That's what I keep on saying. But it is a plan. Okay?
Either we accept it or reject it.
And so we have this study that's come to us. And it says, here is taking all these studies and all these projects going on. We're trying to plan it properly. So as we go through our next project, how do you make it all fit? And what we're saying is, yeah, it's a plan. It is exactly that. It's a plan. But the thing is that we can, later on, another board or local government or others can end up saying, we're going to fund this, we're going to take this on, and those things will change the plan underneath it.
Mr. Chairman, I don't mean to be argumentative, but I heard from Mr. Persons. That's not what he said. I'm reading the language. That's not what it says. It says clearly in its recommendations, not signify CTP endorsement of the recommended and or identified projects.
But you accept the plan or you
don't? I guess the
door standing is in it. I'm accepting. We went through this whole discussion on the semantics. And if it does, if I'm not, bear with me for a minute here. If I'm not signifying my endorsement of the recommendations or identified projects, if I'm not endorsing it, then I'm not endorsing it. If by accepting the plan, I am endorsing it today, as opposed to what I might decide to change it to tomorrow, then that is what this says.
Well, yes.
I'm not disagreeing that we can't accept it today with every provision that's in it and change them tomorrow, the next day until the counts come home, as we get different information, as we hear from different people, as the funding mechanisms change, as 2313 goes away, I'm not suggesting we can't do that. But it's clear in the resolution that there's no individual piece, part, or parcel of this plan that we're endorsing or accepting by accepting the plan itself, except it's our intention not to do those. That's the only substantive thing that's in here. And I think what you're doing by doing that, at least in my case, if there were 28 dots or bullets in the plan, and one of us have tolls, and I've removed that out, so we're not going to have tolls, now it's incumbent on me to look at the other 26. Right now, I'm easy. It's a plan, it's been printed, it's been paid for, you give it to me, I accept it. Do I agree with it? That's a whole different issue. Am I going to implement it? That's a whole other issue. Where am I going to get the money? That's a whole other issue. Is it going to be tolled? That's a whole other issue. So you gave me a really good opportunity to accept it, but I think you're starting to pull that away, because now you're going to make me think about all the other recommendations, all the other provisions of the plan, because you zeroed in on one of them, said that out. And you just actually said it out, it's our intention, which I really don't know what that really means.
I just want to put this whole issue came up because there was, well, looking at a multimodal plan for moving people. And so we have right now the, what we think is a great way to get more throughput in a very limited area like Northern Virginia, where you have 95 and 495, where we're going to try, we're using expressways. And it's free for HOV, and it is, pay for one or two drivers. So from the planning staff, they said, well, you might want to do it on this route and these routes as well. But as you heard from people, and folks really started looking at it, saying, wait a second, like in Prince William County, we only have enough right-of-way to do for south of 66, three lanes in either direction. How do you put an express lane in there? How do you do it given the by county and what the width of that is going to be? When you start really looking, people start saying, how are you going to do this? They start saying, we physically can't do it. So staff recommended we take it out. And that's why this one's facility, I mean, it was about express lanes. And, but so we have people, they come, they testify, they end up raising valid concerns with the quote-unquote study and the plan that comes up with and saying, this doesn't work. And so
we've heard other people have said, you can't close it. I don't want you to close this particular piece of road.
I don't want to get in all that.
Project.
But I don't want to get into the substance of the plan or else you're going to make me analyze everything that's in there. When I start to say, well, these people said that, and our staff agreed, so let's take it out of the plan. Now we're monkeying with the detail and the substance of the plan as opposed to doing a formal acceptance saying it's printed, paid for, it's on my desk, I got it, and what I do with it from here on is up to me. But I've started to monkey with the detail of the plan. That's the problem I have.
Okay, but we're going back and so the study is done, and they came and recommended this and said we're done, and here it is, and as we've gotten into it, we start to say, well, wait a second, there's certain things, like this tolling thing sticking out.
Well, you know what I think about tolls. I know,
but all I'm saying is we're trying to be responsive. We're trying to also be practical. And this, again, trying to marry Loudoun and Prince William comprehensive plans and transportation plans, our transportation plans, and the fact that we have several EISs and EAs all going on and trying to incorporate them for one big visioning and planning time.
Well, and I applaud that. And
Secretary?
I'm going to say one last thing, then I'm going to offer a substitute. The last thing is, it doesn't help people that are trying to win an argument or trying to get a board to take some action to use defamatory language to suggest we have bad character, as if we're all up here getting rich at this job, as if I didn't spend 100 or 200 hours a year working on this for zero compensation, and in my case for zero reimbursement, as if I'm somehow, got some grand scheme that I want to hurt the people that I'm trying to help. And it's unfortunate it happens. I've been doing this for 30-some years now. I love the passion, but it's disappointing for people to challenge either our staff or this board in terms of their integrity and their character. And I think it's unfortunate. And the real bottom line is, it doesn't affect me much because I'm sort of used to it, but it sure ain't going to win any round of points. So it's sort of a dumb strategy. Having said that, and not everybody's been in that boat, but there's been enough of that that my ears start to close. My substitute motion is to strike the language after the comma in the last part of the resolution. So, and coordination with affected local jurisdictions, period. And I make that's the motion that we approve. I'm making a substitute motion that we approve the resolution that was written. And having said that, my record is clear. I've said it a gazillion times. I don't like tolls on core state responsibilities because I think they're inefficient and inequitable. Unfortunately, we've been put in position before, but that was our only way of getting things done. I don't like them. I don't think they're good for us. And you won't see me advocating tolls on this road either.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Well, I'm sorry. Did you?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment, Shep, that to some of your earlier points. I see this as a step in a process. And as Aubrey stated before, there's been other examples where Dorona and her department have done studies, which then we accept and are laid out to the public so that proactively or reactionary, they can respond to it. And we've had that opportunity. We're going to have it again. And we're getting that response, whether it's the people who come in here and respond against the North-South corridor, or whether it's an individual supervisor in either Prince William or Loudoun responding to something that was in the study that they want to further look at, or whether it's landholders on a particular lane, or whether it's the developer of a 8,000-unit community in Loudoun County. That's what the study enabled people to do, to look at what was going on and react to it, but it is part of a process. And I think you could say process be damned, we don't have to accept it. I don't look at you or any of you as accepting the recommendations in this study. I'm just asking you to accept the fact that the study has been completed and now it's out there to continue to move a project or stop a project, which is right now still very fluid with a lot of moving parts, including reactions with the federal government, with the battlefield, with the neighborhood, with the county, local elected officials, with our delegates and senators as well.
I'm in full agreement with that. But when you had that on the back side of it, you took one of the possibilities and one of the recommendations, one thing we should look at, you singled it out from all the others, and you pulled it out and said, we're not doing it. So now you've gotten into the meat of the recommendations, and we started to decide which ones we're going to accept or not accept, which puts me in a position of asking you about all the other ones. I don't want to do them one at a time, but put it in the accepting resolution as opposed to a resolution next month where we say, we're not accepting tolls on this project. I'm cool with that. We can have that debate go up and down. When you put it in one that has no other meat to it other than accepting it, you've introduced the meat and now it's in the box.
Mr. Cole?
Mr. Chairman, is the Executive Steering Committee's recognition of completion contingent on excluding tolls and HOD?
No. We're finished. The four-member committee, we're done. We've collected all the data. We've been to public meetings. We've worked with the local transportation staff. We've met with the county executives, the board chairman. That's it.
Just about the process is that I haven't been to the public meetings. The staff has been, Mr. Brzezinski's been the whole bit. It basically comes down to whether or not, word is trust. They've been through it all. I take a different view, Shep. I don't want to get all to it from a standpoint, but they've gone all through this. And I accept their recommendations being at all those meetings and what they've done to study. So, I don't think that preclude me from putting tolls on in the future either if we change my attention. So,
the study doesn't say that, though. The study doesn't say you shouldn't take tolls.
I understand. That's their recommendation they're adding on top of it.
Well, it's the resolution. I don't agree.
The resolution. So I'm saying they've been through it, and from my perspective, I haven't had a chance to go off there. That's, I would view it a little differently. I don't think it limits us.
Transportation Board,
We've got several functions. Some of them we voted on designated money for the 460 project, designated money for the Route 29 project. We voted on the budget for the 6-year plan. That's our immediate function, I think. Program money for projects that come before the 6-year plan. I think our other function is looking at the scope of transportation in the Commonwealth and how it's going to affect everybody in the Commonwealth. And as part of that, since I've been on this board, part of that has been looking at the routes throughout the Commonwealth, north, south, east, west, North Carolina to Maryland, from Maryland to the eastern shore of that side, west side, east. VDOT has an interest in making sure that we can get people and goods transported throughout the Commonwealth as efficiently as we can. It's good for the citizens not to spend hours in their car, wasting time that they could be spending with their families or at their jobs. It's good for families, it's good for business, it's good for everything in the Commonwealth to have an efficient transportation system. Part of what we do is we look out, not 1 year, not 2 years, not 6 years, but 20 and 30. Clearly, this area is congested. It's been a problem for a number of years. This is a study that we asked to be done to try and help with that problem. VDOT makes no money. These folks are all salary. They don't get commissions. I built an expensive project in Prince William County or an expensive project in the coal fields. They're paid salary. They got no incentive to come up with some kind of crazy project that's going to make traffic worse, or affect somebody's backyard, or do whatever. I mean, these are state employees looking out for the benefit of the Commonwealth. And I think to that extent, as members of transportation, we'll move rely on them extensively. This is a study they perform. They've held public hearings and been to these events. Mr. Krasinski has presented a resolution that adopts this. This affects nothing going on. It sets a roadmap, a vision process for how we want to look at that corridor in the future to help everyone in the Commonwealth. I call a question to vote on Mr. Krasinski's resolution as it has been written.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I want to ask, he put a substitute. The first one may ask, is that a friendly amendment or do you want to leave the resolution?
Leave the resolution as is.
So he offered a
question.
He first though asked, was there a second for the substitute? So here in no second, call the question. All those in favor of the resolution as is, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
Yeah, the ayes have it. I understand. And Mr. Miller... Mr. Miller... I understand very much so. And it's trying to thread a needle, and I appreciate that very much.
And Mr. Miller brings up some excellent points.
I appreciate the point.
Corridor Q.
To the other end of the state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board.
Another non-controversial project.
Consideration before the board today is to delegate authority to the commissioner to execute an agreement for a design-build contract to construct to rough grade phase 2 of the Route 460 connector in Buchanan County. This is a 4-lane limited access facility. You may recall during a previous presentation I made to the board in January, this roadway is part of Corridor Q of the Appalachian Highway Development System and is fully funded through that program. It begins near the Brakes Interstate Park, continues south 6.2 miles to the connection of the Coalfields Expressway near the recently completed rough grade Hawk's Nest section of the Coalfields Expressway. In October of 2007, the department received an unsolicited proposal from Apoca Energy Corporation to construct the roadway using the design-build method of delivery to take advantage of coal mineral deposits along the corridor. This partnership has become known as Coal Synergy, and for this particular project, we're anticipating a 53% cost savings over traditional construction methods. We received from the NEPA approval in April 2008, and concurrence on the sole source design build procurement method from the Commissioner and Federal Highways in September 2011. The final contract terms are being negotiated now using the standard design build vehicle with modifications necessary to account for the coal synergy approach. It's also to be noted that Rapoca Energy Corporation is currently being acquired by Bizac Construction, and all of our negotiations have taken that into account and assumed that occurrence. So again, the purpose is to request to delegate authority to the commissioner to execute this agreement in concert with other agreements, third-party agreements, that will replace memorandums of understanding for the coal mineral access. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
You seem a little nervous.
Yeah. Save the day.
Please, sir, can I have another? Mr. Matney?
Well, normally this would be my motion to be made, but I do yield that to Sonny. I would also abstain from voting on this matter, being a former partner in Rapoca Energy, but having sold my interest in 2004. So there is no conflict, so there's no perception of any conflict, I would abstain.
Mark?
It's an order, Mr. Chairman, make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? You did great.
Okay.
The new secretary of the Commonwealth Transportation Board.
Is it necessary to go up there?
Mr. Chairman,
before
Mr. Martin does that, I'd like to make clear to the board that this gentleman is not in attendance, and his district is the worst performing on those graphs we saw on his pavement, and he just prepared this show. So I call him, why are we having this on the agenda?
Who's the next most senior guy?
God's sake, what are we thinking?
Slated.
He's in charge of too many things already.
Well, I'm going to let Mr. Martin make this motion.
Mr. Chairman, for at least a half a century, I've heard about what can happen when you miss a meeting. And it is not in that spirit that I do nominate Fredericksburg's favorite son as the new secretary, Mr. Ford Sterling.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Does this mean a new seating chart next time?
Yeah, we're going to keep on moving. We have then bids.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, members of the board, on May 22nd, the department took bids on 40 projects. All those projects were under $5 million, therefore there's no action required from the board. The board has requested a breakdown of those bids. Seven of those bids were between $2 and $5 million. The balance, 33, were under $5 million. Any questions?
Motion? No action needed. All right, excellent. Well, that was a great motion. Good to know. New business.
Mr. Chairman, I have some new business for us here. As we all know, our friend and colleague, Dana Martin, this is his last meeting. He's been served here for many years. And I have a resolution I'd like to read to the board. Whereas Dana M. Martin has served on the Commonwealth Transportation Board from 2003 to 2013, representing the Salem Construction District, having been appointed to serve out an unexpired term on the board by Governor Mark Warner, and subsequently reappointed to a full 4-year terms by Governor Warner and Governor Tim Kaine. And whereas Mr. Martin devised a way to share his skills and expertise as an administrator and business leader by establishing Allmark Training Consultants, LLC, in 1997, a firm offering training and skills courses to businesses, governments, and nonprofit organizations. And whereas Mr. Martin previously served the Commonwealth for his work on the board for Virginia's Department of Professional and Occupational Regulation, where he also worked with the Real Estate and Soil Scientist Boards. And whereas Mr. Martin has not limited his public service to state government, having also served in a variety of civic, educational, and charitable organizations, including the Roanoke Valley Red Cross, the Roanoke County Schools Business Advisory Council, and the Art Museum of Western Virginia. And whereas Mr. Martin put the insights and experience from these endeavors to use in his service on this board, not only for residents of his district, but for all Virginia citizens. And whereas Mr. Martin has fulfilled his duties with leadership, dedication, forthrightness, and commitment, earning the respect and admiration of his colleagues and the staff of VDOT and the Department of Rail and Public Transportation. And whereas the Board wishes to express its appreciation of Mr. Martin for his years of service to the Commonwealth, now therefore be it resolved that the members of the current Board extend to Mr. Martin their highest commendation and appreciation for his years of outstanding service on behalf of the citizens of the Salem Construction District and the Commonwealth as a whole, and express their best wishes to him.
Thank you.
I make that motion.
Second.
I think we're going to... Oh, he wants to debate this one. I
am. Mr. Miller, which one? You want to take that last one out, the one that says good things?
Secretary,
might
be tarnishing your reputation.
Notorious. I think it's notorious.
I had the pleasure of sitting next to Dana last night at his dinner, for the farewell dinner, and really enjoyed our conversation. And he's been a mentor of mine on the board. Dana is a guy who's smart and thoughtful. He is balanced, yet he's firm in his convictions. He's experienced, but he still is inquisitive and still ready to learn, even after 12 years being here. And he sees the big picture, but he's also able to see the details. My only regret, if you will, other than leaving this board, is that his dad and your senior dad. Talked about that last night, because Dana is the epitome, in my view, of a what we refer to as a Virginia gentleman. And back in the day when Dad grew up, probably didn't have the situation to be that. But Dana does. God bless you.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Speech.
All opposed.
Speech.
Mr. Martin. Be oxymoronic to endure that and then make somebody go through a speech.
Who would you call the oxymoron? Who's the moron?
I will say this much, that I always try to leave relationships and with people or organizations better than I found them. This is a case where that has worked in reverse. Carol Mattis and Brenda Crouch and every district administrator, all the secretaries, some of the commissioners, everybody along the way, Diane, and I don't know, yeah, you got here a little late, but Diane covered you. The entire staff, all that's gone in that unequivocally that I am the one who is better off for this association, and I sincerely appreciate it and will endeavor to take what has made me better here somewhere else off in the future. So, Jeff, you were so correct in that a lot of people all over the world try to be ladies and gentlemen. Good people, that's good. People want to be better, try to be Southern ladies and gentlemen, and we make it best being Virginian. Gentlemen and ladies. So at this point, rather than have you get me confused with the woman I was once married to, I'm going to stop because she was the original passenger side airbag.
I have one more new business.
More new business?
Sorry. I just want to point out, Carol, our next meeting is going to be on the eastern shore of Virginia. We're going to have a joint meeting, the Tuesday before, we'll invite the board to come to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Board meeting. There's going to be a luncheon and tours of the facility after that. This will be on the eastern shore. I think we're staying at the Airport Hilton, which is not far. That evening, there will be a reception on the first island of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel for both boards and the local and state and other representatives for that evening. So should be a nice event planned, and I welcome you all down to Hampton Roads
Is that the same date, though, Carol? I mean,
yes.
Okay.
The Tuesday.
Okay,
Tuesday.
It's not being moved. Okay.
Yeah, we're and I really am looking forward to having you guys attend, if you would. I didn't want that for luncheon. We're gonna have that luncheon meeting with the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, and your input. I'm sure that would be meaningful to those guys on that.
By the way, you know, one of the reasons we did think about this, believe it or not, I believe when I stopped in at their meeting, in the 60-year history of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, I'm the first Secretary of Transportation ever to have visited, which then they started talking about asking of us, and I said, you know, maybe it would be very, and not only could I be the first Secretary of Transportation to actually attend one of the meetings, maybe for the first time in our history. The Commonwealth, we will actually have a joint meeting of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel Authority and the CTB. So it will be a historic event in July.
Great.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think it's also appropriate to recognize Mr. Wayne for his creativity in using this venue as celebration of his birthday.
We dumped him, right? Is that what you do?
I've been dumped enough.
And by the way, in that vein, I'm just thinking that RMA, it might be appropriate for us to maybe have a joint event meeting. Maybe after that, the next time we meet in September, I don't know if we had another place, but maybe a joint meeting with the RMA might be something that's very, very useful. Okay. And it could be as we go along, some of the bigger MPOs and all doing the same types of things. So.
Is there any other new business?
Well, before we adjourn, I do want to just say it's been a great pleasure working with Mr. Martin. He's been a true gentleman and a true leader, and we will miss him very, very much. And he's been someone now
Ten years.
Man, I'm done after 3.5. Ms. Martin, thank you very much. I thank everybody. We'll see you all in July down in Northern Virginia.
All
right.
See you in July.
All right.
We'll see you, Hollis.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hollis, what I think, 4 o'clock?